Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Grant and Danny all over D.C. on the Fan, 106.7, and in Richmond on the Fan, AM 910, FM 105.1. And wherever you are via the Odyssey app, take us with you. You can pause, rewind the show. Easy to toggle all the different functions on the Odyssey app. Watch us on video. We are streaming on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page. And the show is brought to you by the law firm, Kondori and Murad. They can help you update your last will and testament. They will set up a trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Tell them we sent you. You will get a discount. That is kmlawyers.com. The Caps play at home tonight. In fact, I'm going to the game. I'm fired up about that. Ryan and I are going to go over to the Caps game tonight, Mr. Huhe.
I heard about this. So I picked Ryan up today. I'm not sure exactly what's going on in his life, but he asked me for a ride. I gave it. Happy to do it. I know he's got
you
a lot.
You didn't grill him? Like,
no.
I like that about you.
He's juggling a lot of things, and he seemed very stressed out. I said, no problem. I'll pick you up at the coffee shop not far from you.
He's moving.
That's why I figured it's a hassle. Yeah. I've been there. It's a Robert hassle. But he casually mentioned it. I was like, you know, hey, giving your ride home might be a problem. I'm supposed to go play pick up hoops tonight. And he's like, oh. Don't worry about it. Going to the Caps game. And I went, well, look at you. Going to the. You know what else he's going to do, Grant? This is what he told me. He's talking big.
Okay.
He said not only is he going to go to the Caps game with you, he might meet some friends after the Caps game.
That is.
Can you imagine that?
Young person energy. Young person resilience, I think. Here's what I'm going to do after the Caps game. I'm going to get home as soon as I possibly can and plop down on the couch. Watch a little baseball. Catch up on some of the things I may have missed around the sports world during the evening while at the game. And then we will call it a night. Everyone in my house will be long asleep. I guess Thursday Night Football will actually be on as well. I'll be monitoring that from the phone. But I'll probably do that as well. But when you're young and it's Thursday, that's a fun night to go out. Don't forget about that. It's been a while, I know, Danny. That's a fun time.
Thursdays were awesome when old Randy Duguay was 20 years old with metabolism. Just annihilating beer. Like, no beer was safe. Within my grasp. And then rally the next morning for weightlifting, conditioning, and regular baseball practice. I was good to go. No longer, if I'm in the same room as the alcohols, I'm hungover for 6 days.
What did you think of the Bengals stadium when we were there? It's called Paycor now. It was Paul Brown Stadium. It was the best football atmosphere I've been in a long time, so that's going to color how I feel about the stadium. And I'll be honest, I didn't really walk around a ton. I kind of did a little walk through the club level where we were sitting, but I didn't really see a ton of the behind the scenes of the stadium. But what did you make of what you saw?
Pretty solid. Like, not one of those stadiums where I'm going, I've seen it. Like, when I went to San Francisco, I call it Pac Bell, but it was AT&T. Now it's like something else after something else. I don't really keep up with the sponsorships, but they're baseball stadium. That's my favorite stadium in sports. I went and I was there and it was twilight and I smelled the garlic fries. I walked around and I go, this is it. This is the stadium.
I do think baseball is different than football in that way.
No, it is. That's fair.
Ballparks, there is a mystique and a beauty, and there's water, and there's all kinds of things. Football's just kind of seats, generally.
Yeah, it's a bit more bowlish. Yeah, I'm with you. I went to the Ravens Stadium. I thought, oh, this is pretty nice.
So I wasn't
blown away. I go, this is fine. This is solid.
At the time that I stopped being a beat reporter, I had been to all but four NFL stadiums. Cincinnati was actually one of them. Let me see if I can remember them top of my head. I had not been to Houston, which at the time was Reliant Stadium. I don't know what it's called now. I had not been to Cincinnati, Paul Brown, which is now Paycor. I had not been to Foxborough, Gillette, which is now whatever that is. And there was Atlanta. actually, which is now new anyway, Mercedes-Benz. So those were the four, I think, that I did not go to while I was on the beat.
Mm-hmm.
There might be one or two others now, like Minnesota, the new one I have not been to. I only say this to tell you that I thought the Bengals stadium was awesome. I really, really liked it. My analysis is colored by the fact that I had a blast, that the team played really well.
Yeah, I was going to say, what if they got beat 38-5?
Maybe it feels a little different. I don't know. I mean, I'm not naive to that. I do think when I rank cities, so to speak, so my buddies and I, if we're sitting around, we're talking about our favorite, least favorite cities in America. A lot of times I'm basing how I feel about a city on the fun I had over 3 days. I went to Seattle. It rained for 3 days. I barely left the hotel. Probably not going to have as glowing report on Seattle if it was beautiful and I was on the water eating some, you know, delicious fresh caught seafood or something, you know, right there, and boats are coming by.
Yeah, I went to Charleston and every dish I had had rice in it.
Yeah.
You know, and I was so fat afterwards, but it felt great. I love Charleston.
Probably was beautiful. Yeah. The weather's nice. So I don't know. I'm not naive enough to say that the experience we had and just Monday Night Football, Bengals fans going nuts, everyone being nice, added to it, but I did like Paycor Stadium. The reason we bring this up, though, is the Cincinnati Business Courier is reporting that Hamilton County, which I guess is the county where the stadium sits right there in Ohio on the border of Kentucky, they are considering right now and looking into the logistics on how much it would cost to add a dome to the venue. Now, hear this word. To me, dome means full-time roof. If it's a part-time roof, you would call it a retractable roof. Or if it is a partially open dome, you would acknowledge that. You would say, you know, that it is moderately open. They are considering adding just a dome over that stadium all the time. I think this is going to be happening in more stadiums on the East Coast, in our region, north, south, wherever, but in the Mid-Atlantic and beyond, because I think what teams are realizing is it is so hard to get anyone to come to games.
Mm-hmm.
It is impossible to get someone off of their couch, which is comfortable. Not eating their own foods, which they've already purchased. Not having their own drinks, which are in the refrigerator for free. Not watching their 5K, 8,000 HPI TLR television, 6U screen where everything, like the players come out after a tackle and go, "Did you like that one, Danny?" And you go,
"Yes, I did.
Yes, I did."
Thanks, Frankie.
That's what we're watching.
See you back in the huddle.
When it rains, no one's coming.
Mm-hmm.
I could go. Diehards will go. You're not going to sit in the rain all night. When it's really cold in the winter, am I going to go? Am I not going to go? It needs to be a nice game to have a chance to get anyone off their butts. And I think what everyone's realizing is we can't risk this anymore. We can't have rain games. We can't have cold. We can't have hot. We need this Goldilocks game. We need it to be just right. We need 72 in air conditioning just to have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Because if that's the case and the team's really good and there's a good environment with a good road opponent in the house and we give away a towel or a bobblehead when you walk in, maybe Danny forgets about his fantasy team for 3 hours. Maybe he decides to grin and bear it with the traffic.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an angle here for the Commanders, too, which is to say they're building a stadium, and it's going to have a roof.
So there's I'm of two minds, and let me just try to let's explore the space a little bit. Put on our reflection trunks, take a swimming like us here. There's a part of me that says you're giving away willfully an advantage if you are a Northeastern team or a cold weather team, and playoffs roll around, and like let's say for the sake of argument, you got Miami on the schedule. If you're Buffalo, oh, I want those guys that did nothing but play in 80 degrees to come up here and have it be zero, have them be miserable. Or the West Coast team that used to be in San Diego or L.A. that's got to come to Chicago now and play me outside. I don't want to give that up.
Last year in the playoffs, here's your example.
Mm-hmm.
The Dolphins went to the Chiefs at Arrowhead. It was the coldest game in the history of football. Do you remember this?
I do now, yeah.
All the people treated for like hypothermia and stuff.
That's right.
The game was over before it started. You could pregame, you saw the Dolphins, they're all bundled up like they're about to live in an igloo, and the Chiefs are running around with their Vaseline on their arms, shining and everything, but they had no chance.
Yeah.
I mean, the weather said you have no chance.
But you also said it very well, the beginning part. People were treated for hypothermia. You know what I mean? Like, we sort of can't do this anymore. And that's my that's the second mind, is the where's the trend line going? And we talked about this years ago, only tangentially football related here, but it was with concussions and youth participation and CTE and everything. The trend line was, this doesn't affect you, but we think this might. And then, well, this definitely affects you, but we think this might. The line and the arrow was pointing significantly in one direction, and that's where it's going. It's too hard. It's too expensive. It's too much. Everyone's so busy. Everyone's got so many demands on their attention. Too many streaming services, too much comfort, too much hassle. Everyone's busier than they've ever been to just say, I'd like to spend a ton of money for a not that great of an experience.
Right.
I'm not doing that. I know a lot of people aren't either. So to that end, you've got to cater to that. Even if that means you sacrifice that potential, that home field advantage outdoor weather game for a non-weather city, it may just be where we have to go, period. And I think having planning where you go, I may have to not have that one special time every 5 years where I'm hosting a playoff game against a team who is not used to dealing with inclement weather. I may have to sacrifice that for some good attendance in those other 4 years of 364 days.
Yeah, and plus, if you're the Bengals, Joe Burrow is going to be your quarterback in perpetuity here during his career. You got a decade of Joe Burrow coming up. They're going to be a pass-first operation, probably. I don't think you make a decision with a dome, which is forever, based on your current design offensively. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to change a lot. You're about to pay Chase or Higgins. The other one you'll kick to the curb. And you're going to have a pass-first offense with Burrow. And maybe there's something to, this is our identity, Zach Taylor, Joe Burrow. If it's not Zach Taylor, it'll be the next O coordinator that comes in here to call plays with this Heisman Trophy-winning passer, pocket-passing savant. So maybe you want more good weather games. Like in baseball, I remember there was this book I read years and years ago that you could probably find from Kevin Kennedy, who I worked with at MLB Network Radio, former manager.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was called Twice Around the Bases. And one of the early pages in that book was about like getting an advantage. And I remember him talking about when he was the manager of Texas and Boston, they would configure different things that they could
homestand
based on the team. So, like, they'd called up a couple of fast guys, and they were going to try to basically be a speed team for this homestand or stretch or whatever because of some injuries. And he told them in advance, like, grow out the grass. We're going to be laying bunts down. Like, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's real. Like,
you let the grass grow on the foul lines so the bunts stay fair. Yeah.
The Orioles changed their entire outfield wall and ruined Camden Yards, in my opinion. And I think went way too far, by the way. But they basically said, no pitcher wants to come here. We cannot sign pitchers. We cannot get Corbin Burns to come here without trading for him. We need to be able to sign an ace when we want to. Now, they don't spend money anyway, so maybe it doesn't matter. But we're not going to be able to do that unless we change the dimensions so that left field wall gets pushed back, and it's gone from being the easiest ballpark to hit a home run to left field in to by far the hardest. Again, I think they went way too far, and it's extreme. But you build your dimensions sometimes based mm-hmm. on your team, the personnel you want, the wants, whatever. So maybe that's a small part of this. I don't know. But I think what is the bigger conversation is you're trying to fight a losing battle. Stadiums are going to get smaller. They mm-hmm. should. You should not build a 70,000-seat stadium anymore. You don't need to. It should be 57, 58,000 seats. With the ability in standing room only, Danny, to be low 60s. Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because there just isn't as much demand. And when you have the giant stadium, see the Cowboys, see what was the Redskins before, you know, the 20 years ago when they started ripping up seats in the old organization, it just gets overfilled and overflowed with other fans because mm-hmm. the demand internally is going to ebb and flow for your own thing. But I think they should put a dome on that stadium. And I think we're at a place where every single stadium built now moving forward is going to have a roof.
It's going to be rare that it doesn't. Like, if you build in, again, I keep picking San Diego, where the weather's perfect at all times. There's never a time where it's not unbelievable.
So that's then the maybe. Caveat. I think East Coast, I mean where there's weather.
Yeah.
Where there are seasons, where there's rain beyond the occasional rare day.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's like windy and can get cool in San Francisco, but that's a different thing.
Yeah, but yeah, point taken. I'm refuting the general with the specific. Like, my axiom for a long time has been, we have to stop having weather problems with baseball. Like, I know we're talking about football, but like, somebody is sitting there going, is the game happening or not? Is it happening or not? I go to the stadium, the game's about to start, there's no update, I'm there for 2 hours, and then finally I leave, but they just started.
You spent $1,000 on your five tickets.
Like, enough.
Yeah.
Enough of that. And that problem, okay, that's you got 81 of those home dates. Well, this is a much bigger to-do.
Totally.
If I got a similar hassle, I'm not coming back. I'm not doing that.
I was talking to Dad about this yesterday.
Love you, Dad.
Not my father, Dennis, but the dad on our staff.
Love you, Dad.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the point we kind of came to was, I was telling you about this, Darius, with Baltimore this weekend. The weather was immaculate. It was the best weather day for an NFL game I have been to, certainly this season, and I'm sure there was one like it last year, the year before. But, I mean, this is textbook weather. And going to the game was a gigantic pain in the butt. Now, I know that it was in Baltimore, not home, although, you know, for me, living in Virginia, it's not that much of a difference, to be honest, in terms of commute. But just as an example, the traffic around the stadium there was awful. Everyone complains about the traffic here. It was worse for me getting to and from the parking lot up there. And then I jumped in an Uber to come back. I rode up with Chris Russell. I jumped in an Uber to come back with a couple of buddies who had been at the stadium enjoying themselves all day. And I sat in the very back of an Uber van that couldn't have been hotter or smelled worse, but that's beyond the point. In the third row of a van, and I get in and I'm like, all right, Baltimore to D.C., it's going to be 45 minutes. Grin and bear it, you got this. The GPS, he's like, it's going to be about an hour 49. And I'm like, kill me now. I mean, it was just, so luckily, your boys got YouTube TV, and I just put, watch Kirko Chains light up the Panthers for a couple of hours. And Sunday Red Zone, everyone else is like falling asleep around me, and we had a blast, and it was fun, and we chopped it up and caught up about the game or whatever. But it was a long drive. My point is, you got to want it. That was 72 and sunny in Baltimore for a 4-2 or whatever 4-1 Washington team and a good Ravens team, and it was a great game. You can't ask for anything better than that. It's Lamar Jackson, it's Jaden Daniels, it's a couple MVP candidates, it's good football, it's a fun stadium. And if I think about the alternative of just, what if I just sat at home, watched the game, enjoyed my Coca-Cola Zero Classic with my chips and my dip, kids running around in the basement, but I also watched four other games. I got to watch every play of Jared Goff and fighting Dan chest muscles, just embarrassing the Cowboys. That would have been fun too. Yeah, it would have been. I probably still actually owe someone for that Uber ride because
it was probably cheap too.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
What the guy did? He's like, he punched it in. He's like, this is what it would cost. I'll take cash. Like, that was basically what it was. And she's like, yep, let's go.
Okay.
Here we go. 140 some whatever, whatever the number was to get back.
Oof.
Point of the dude's story is, it's hard to get people to go to games.
Yeah, and it's not getting easier.
No. Like
that is the thing. And that's where so many different teams and orgs for so many years, really, with Washington, talking about the foosball group, they just assumed at the time, we're the Redskins. This will work itself out. We're the Redskins. We could just pretend to have a season ticket waiting list. We could pretend that the demand is still there. We just act as if we're this organization that everyone wants to be a part of, and they were losing fans left and right, losing interest left and right, to the point that it was a farce. It was a joke. So there's a lot of work to be done to go uphill as it is. So talking about the Harris Ownership Group most specifically, or as it applies to the stadium, they're already fighting uphill. They're doing a great job. There's nothing wrong with what they're doing. Not a criticism at all. But they got here, and everything was a mess. And then now you're also fighting these other headwinds that are going on while you're excavating the rubble. You know? And that just thinking about that, you've got to do everything possible at all times to make it as easy as can be for people to give you the money and to get something out of it.
Here's my question, though. Is there even an argument for not having a roof on the stadium? We all want a retractable roof. That's the best of all the worlds. It's very unrealistic. The more I've talked to people with the team, the more it just sounds like it is cost inhibitive. It's not going to happen. It's unlikely, I should say, to happen. The amount of cost it adds to the stadium is astronomical. And the logic is it's not worth it. Like, it's one thing to pay for it. They could probably figure that part out. Is it worth it? Can you justify it? I would say yes, selfishly, because I like when it's nice out to open the roof and you know, sit in an outdoor game. But what the teams that have the retractable roofs do is they just keep it closed because the noise is better for the team and the home field advantage grows. And you never even, you know, the Astros have a roof that could be open, let's say, 40 dates a year based on the weather, and it turns out to be like 10. You know, they never open the roof. October baseball could be awesome. Open the roof in Houston and Texas. They're in the ALCS every single year. It's closed because it's super loud and they want the best home field advantage possible.
Yep.
So I just think we need to prepare for the roof on the new stadium. And I think we all are starting to understand that. But I wonder if there's any argument against it from anyone at this point. Is there anyone that says, I actively don't want that? That would be a bummer to me. And if that is your thought, why is that? We can open up the phones at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny. Double play at 345, and in 40 minutes at 4, we're giving away Caps tickets right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready for some indoor football, DC? That is the question. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. Hamilton County, which is the county the Bengals Stadium sits in Ohio, right on the Ohio River across from Kentucky. They got a great stadium. Very popular. People seem to really like it. And they are looking into adding a roof, a dome, to that stadium. No more outdoor games. And while that seems probably like something that fans will bristle at, it's just the way things are trending. And I don't think you're going to see new stadiums built in this area of the country without a roof. It's too hard to get people to go to games, and the weather affecting games is a dagger to the owners and to the turnout.
Story here from Front Office Sports that just came across the wire, almost apropos, like they were helping us plan our show. They knew what we were doing. The Cleveland Browns are planning to leave the city of Cleveland for a new $2.4 billion domed stadium in Brook Park, Mayor Justin Bibb has announced. So, there you go. That's in a handful of years.
Great stadium. Has anyone been to that stadium?
No.
They have an awesome stadium right on the lake. I love that stadium. Why are they doing that?
I think you just heard. It's a brand new domed stadium.
I guess so.
You
could add a dome.
5 years from or 4 years from now, I guess. So, like,
how old is that stadium?
Here's what I'll say real quick about domes, etc. My ideal is to not have to have one. Ideal is the weather's nice, you go to a game, everything's nice, and you go home. That's not practical. Same thing with Nats Park, or same thing with a baseball field. Like, I wanted, if I could have my druthers, the weather would be nice every day. It would also wouldn't be too humid. It wouldn't be too hot. The sun wouldn't be beating down on me. I'd be able to sit in right field without having to squint and hold my hat over my eyes to be able to see home plate at twilight here in the middle of the summer at Nats Park. There'd be a lot of things that'd be different, but it's also not realistic.
Yeah.
Right? The great days where it's perfect, those are awesome. Those are, what do you call those? Not town hall days. The Chamber of Commerce days.
Chamber of Commerce.
Right? Those are great and those are worthy. The point is, if I can have a 7 out of 10 every time, so I don't have the 1s and the 2s and the 3s and the miserable times where fans don't feel good or even want to go anymore, I have to do that because that number is going to be bigger at the end of a season.
That stadium was built in 1999 in Cleveland. And I don't think it's aged poorly. Now, I haven't walked around the bowels. Like, we got that tour of Great American Ballpark, which is awesome. And Great American Ballpark, Like, the places that you don't see that we saw on the tour is not aging very well. It's just, like, kind of not being kept up well by ownership, in my opinion. Maybe that's the case at that Brown Stadium. But you didn't see this. You're always facing me, and your back is to those guys. This will be a deep cut for our P1s. Do you remember when Ryan was the stadium guy, and then Darius challenged him to his crown?
I only remember Darius being the stadium guy.
Right.
I don't remember the time before that.
They had a competition, because Ryan always claims he knows the most about stadiums.
Yeah.
Then Darius said, "You're a sucker, I know more," and Ryan called him out and challenged him and laid down the gauntlet.
Yeah, it was 4-1.
And then Darius just swept the floor with him in a stadium challenge. Well, I bring all this up to remind everyone of that, because moments ago I just looked at Darius and talked back, and I'm like, when was that Brown Stadium built? And Ryan just jumps up in his chair and says the year that it was built. And then I see him, like, jawing at Darius, like, pointing at him like he's an NBA player, just, you know, got blocked or something. So did you know it right off the top of your head?
I did. And it was actually, I'm not going to lie, like, it's not really because of my stadium knowledge, although it kind of is. But when the Browns originally left Cleveland to go to Baltimore, that was Municipal Stadium that they were at. Obviously, you know, that was there for years. That was a cathedral up in Cleveland. And then First Energy Bank, I believe is what it was called. When it first opened, I know that was the name of the stadium prior in like
stadium. I'll confirm.
So
with
here,
her.
So here, yeah. None of that was about the date. He was just really trying to
he's
tell you that he knew
right
what the stadium was.
He's basically, I walked into his office.
Darius, is any of that right?
He's doing the Anchorman bit where he's like, "Oh, I didn't know you were coming."
105. I just did so many.
Yeah. So really back sore. To the point though, is 1999? Did you call it correctly, Darius? Did he say that? He seemed, he had his chest out like he called it off air.
He nailed it.
Wow.
Yep. He absolutely nailed it.
Are you looking to challenge again, Ryan?
I would love to.
Do you want the number one headband?
I would love to.
Are you a little bit salty right now, D?
A little bit.
Did you know it was 1999?
I didn't. I was heading to go and do some research.
Oh,
via
so
the,
he
via
sung
the
you
interwebs.
While you were Googling it.
Yeah, like Ooh. Before I could reach the Google, he had already said, "Oh, it was in 1999. I'm like, "Oh, okay."
Stadium guy, Larry.
I'm the stadium guy.
He gets his weather back, and now he's coming for his stadium.
Do we have to do another challenge?
We're going to have to at some point.
As Eminem said, "Real Slim Shady, please stand up." Well, the real stadium guy, please stand up.
Wow.
I stood up.
Oh, wow.
How about that? All right, let's hit the phones. 800-636-1067. So the Browns are going to have a dome. They don't even need a stadium. They're going to get one so they can get a dome.
Yep.
The Bengals look like they're looking into adding a dome at this point. We're just preparing everyone. That is what is going to happen on this stadium. Are you cool with that? Does anybody not want one and why? Let's go to Ray in Baltimore, home of the Ravens. What's up, Ray?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Great to talk to y'all again.
Hey, Ray.
You too, buddy.
I don't want it. You know, at the end of the day, when you think about the great Marv Levy, when they say it's tough for them, but it's okay for us, when you think about the Tampa, you know, Bucks back in the day, Dredden going to Green Bay to play in the playoffs, so Dredden goes to Philadelphia before they got over the hump in 03. So, you know, there's something about the cold. When you think about Mike Singletary breathing out on the NFL film, seeing the late, great Dick Butkus and Gale Sayers running through in the mud, or even recent times, Shady McCoy running through Detroit in the snow. It's something historic about football being played in the snow. So to hang up the phone, no, I don't want to say it. There was talks about it in Baltimore, but it was just a pipe dream, and I don't want to say it in Washington because there's something to be said about the home field advantage, about the cold. This is the Northeast.
It is. You're right. I mean, but as much as you want those conditions for the players on the field, people don't want to sit in them and watch the game. The diehards will be there. You cannot fill a stadium on a winter snow day. It does not happen.
So, you know, you take the old NFL Films clip with John Facenda, the autumn wind is a pirate.
Right.
But not inside the stadium where it was 72 and sunny. Like,
exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, or, you know.
It's not the same.
Yeah.
And he's so right about snow games.
Totally.
I have so many great memories. The Brady Tuck rule game.
100%, man.
I don't even know, like, the specifics, but I think it was a Thanksgiving game. Would have been, no, because they would have been in Dallas with a dome. But the Cowboys played the Dolphins one time. I was watching with my Uncle Rick at my house as a little kid, and they're all like trying with their hands to wipe the field to get a kickoff in this like 10-3 snow blizzard fest. I mean, it was crazy.
Michael Vick in Atlanta went on the road to Green Bay when it was zero.
The best.
You know, just I remember
playoff
all those things,
games
of course.
In the cold. You definitely lose something.
You do.
1,000%. Not seeing the steam coming off someone's breath in a playoff game, that would be a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want people in the stands or not? Let's go to Tom in Manassas. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, yeah. This is a lot of blasphemous talk.
People in is attendance down? That's just a question I just thought of. I don't think Buffalo is not selling out in December because it's cold, or Green Bay or Chicago. Ray put it eloquently. That's football. We don't need to whitewash the game so the owners can have sunny and 70 and everybody comes to spend their money. It's old school. That's football. It's not, you know, a knitting contest. So, but if numbers are down, you look at it, but I don't see numbers being down in those cold weather cities.
He makes a great point. Thank you, buddy. It's good talking to you, brother.
Man.
He makes a great point about those stadiums. This is never an issue in Buffalo or Green Bay.
Right.
And it probably never will be.
But in the those kinds of markets where, A, it's cold, yes, but the other thing is this is not your – you've got a million options in Green Bay or a million options in Buffalo. This is the thing you do. Whereas in major metropolitan environments, say right. your LAs, your Chicago's, your New York, your DC, your Philadelphia – Philadelphia may be different, but you know what I mean? Like Cleveland is as blue collars you're going to find in this country. Ravenous fan base. Like, yep, we're going to a nice temperature-controlled dome stadium. No more – you know, freezing Bernie Kosar breath by the lake.
Well, Colleen tweeted me at Grant H. Paulson. Well, I'm on Twitter and Instagram, Grant H. Paulson. Danny's at Funny Danny. And she said, Buffalo, new stadium, no dome. Weather is a part of the experience. I totally agree with you.
It is, yeah.
And yes, they are building one without a roof. They are in the minority. And that's part of the fun with them. I don't want, by the way, 32 teams without roofs. Or excuse me, with roofs. I don't want no weather in football. I'm just saying, they're going to build a roofed stadium here. They're going to. Be prepared. They cannot fill the joint when it's freezing or when it's raining. It's not going to happen. Now, if this was the number one seed in the NFC every single year for 8 years running, if they were the Chiefs of the NFC, could they? It doesn't really seem to stop people in Kansas City. I guess possibly. And maybe that is the pushback. Maybe that's part of the conversation. If they were better, they could fill the stadium regardless of weather. Harold in Upper Marlboro, you're on the Fan. What's up?
Hey, thank you, Danny and Grant.
Hey, buddy.
I'm against it because you take away your own home field advantage. You just even it up for your opponent. I remember back in the day with Riggins. I mean, we actually had an outside advantage.
Oh yeah.
When teams, so we took it. We used that advantage for us. For the AFC East in particular, or every team except for Miami has the advantage over Miami. So it's like, what? Why make it easy for, you know, comfortable for Miami, you know, come to play or whatever?
It's the Marv Levy quote. Thanks, buddy. That's a good phone call.
So my counter is, you don't think New Orleans had a home field advantage on their way to a Super Bowl when it's the loudest you could ever imagine anywhere being?
True.
Inside that dome? I mean, I hear you. I hear your point, and you're right. It's the thing that I'm going to miss, right, is that when it's not my team playing in it, that cold weather game or the snow game or the, you know, making that dichotomy of a matchup where a warm weather team has to go on the road and play a cold weather team. I'm going to miss all that.
Herb sounds like he's in, which is in the minority right now. You like the idea of putting a roof on the stadium.
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, dude.
Hey, so here's my take on it. I'm in the. I want to go ahead and put a roof over it, and it has nothing to do with the actual game or anything like that. I want to bring big time games to the DMV. I want to see Super Bowls. I want to see WrestleManias. I want to see college football championships. Mm-hmm. I want to see basketball championships. I believe because this is a big market for sports, we should be able to host things.
Oh, we
don't
will.
Don't get me wrong.
Yep. Yeah, that's part of the plan.
I am here. I am all here for, hey, if the stadium is retractable, hey, let's retract it for the sake of a playoff game.
Yep.
Or, hey, let's close it because we got the loudest, raucous fans and our stadium, our new stadium, can be put on and made it just as loud as Kansas City or Seattle. Now, do you want to put it on this stadium right now? Hell no.
No, you're not putting lipstick on that pig in that regard. It costs too much money. That's a great phone call. We had not mentioned what other possibilities come with having a roof in this area. I think that is something we've talked about ad nauseum when we've actually talked about the stadium in the past. I'm kind of more thinking about this just from the fan perspective of going to NFL games. But yeah, that's why there's going to be a roof, first and foremost, number one.
Yep.
Is that without a roof, you lower the amount of events you can have and the types of events that you could have, and when you build this thing, you want as many dates as possible in that stadium to make money back.
So I know a lot of fans may not be as moved or care about that as much. And they're like, well, business. It's going to help the owners. But it really is. It's a way probably for the city or whatever municipality is helping to pay for the thing to help make their money back.
But in D.C., you know? We should be hosting all of these things.
Yes.
We have the hotel rooms. We've got the businesses. There's no reason. There's not five better cities in America to host these major events than Washington, D.C. Now, let's squeeze in one more here. I think Neil had some details on the Bills stadium. What's up, Neil?
Yeah, I was just calling in to verify that, yeah, they're also building a stadium based off of the soccer stadium. It's either Chelsea or Tottenham, where it's going to be open but closed to the upper levels.
Open but closed to the upper levels means what? You mean like where it hangs over the fans so that they're undercover?
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I think that design is actually awesome.
Yeah, me too.
If the surface itself can be covered with snow and weather and rain, and they're playing football, but you can't touch me because I'm sitting in the stands and all of the stands are covered.
That is pretty cool. That's cool.
Isn't that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a better version of what the Cowboys had and probably still have. Remember when they had their stupid glory hole or whatever Jerry called it? That one time, which is not what he should have called it.
Right. Well, I think he was talking about, like, wanting some success, and he just totally mixed up his metaphors,
yeah.
Which was classic. But they had that stupid light.
It was like so God can shine down
so,
on the Cowboys.
Yeah, so God can see the
I don't mean the new light. I mean the stadium.
Yeah, had the hole in it. So the sun would come in at every 4 o'clock game. Like, you were going one way. You couldn't see.
That's the new stadium has that,
yeah,
too.
Has the same thing. They kept it.
But the 35 to the 35 was just like a big block of sunlight because it was open on part of the field. I think if you could have technology where the entire field is basically open air, but everyone in the stands is covered, then that kills two birds with one stone.
Mm-hmm.
Without a retractable roof, mind you.
Now you're solving some stuff.
The only problem is it's still cold or hot. So you,
but
you
it's
know,
but it, it's better.
But you're
pretty
dry.
Good. Yeah.
Dry is most important, I would say. Good feedback on that. That's good. Just get ready for a roof, is what I'm gathering at this point.
That's right.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Our double play is next, and in 15 minutes, we will be giving away Caps tickets on G&D. Halloween night, the Capitals are playing the Montreal Canadiens at home. We have tickets for you that you can win right here on Grant and Danny. We're giving those away coming up in 10 minutes. You've got to be listening to the Fan. By the way, what are your kids being for Halloween?
We've got Darth Vader, and I'm not sure what my oldest is doing. They lead the league in enthusiasm when they think about the costume.
Yes.
Money spent on costume, then... losing interest in it, which is I just love that. That's my, isn't that fun? That's my favorite.
I'm not sure what we're doing yet. There's some debate between, it's always a princess of some type, but I think there might be a Taylor Swift situation developing.
Princess Swift.
Or that would be fun. Or maybe like just generic concert girl.
Okay.
Which is inspired by Taylor Swift.
Okay, I was going to say, she's going to a Taylor Swift show.
My daughter now just wants to be a concert girl. That's what she calls it. I think it means famous singer or Taylor Swift. I'm not really sure.
Oh, do you think it means an audience member or like the performer?
No, the performer. She wants to do what Taylor Swift does.
I misunderstood.
Yeah. No, she doesn't want to be a girl at a concert.
Like, I like going to concerts.
We could have some candy for that. Like, we could take her to a concert.
Yeah.
So I think that's where she's leaning. My son, either Jaden Daniels, is in the running here.
All right.
With his new Jaden Daniels jersey. Or it sounds like, I always think Spider-Man is a thing. But my wife told me the other day for the first time he wanted to be a fox. So that's very random three things.
Okay.
Spider-Man, Jaden Daniels, or a fox.
Or full fox ensemble.
I don't know.
Just go full De'Aaron. Yeah.
I'm the same thing every year. When I pass out candy or walk the kids around.
What are you?
I am one of two things, whichever I grab first in the box. It's the same box in my garage.
Uh-huh.
I have to climb up and get it, and I just see which one I can find. I'm either a hot dog or a burger. Both of them are these big puffy costumes I never have to worry about. I slide them over my head, and the face either comes right out of the hot dog, or...
And you find out as you put it on which one it is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or I'm a big cheeseburger. But it gets so hot.
Yes.
It also rains on Halloween for some reason every year. Have you noticed that?
It was either last year or the year before. It was pouring.
Can we get Clary weather? By the way, what's Halloween night as I'm walking around?
It's a couple week outlook for right now.
In Northern Virginia, going to be like about 2 weeks out from right now. It is time for our double play, by the way. What's, I deked Darris there.
That was a bit of a head fake. You shot faked.
I'm just giving Clary a minute to pull up the weather. He's got to look 2 weeks in advance. You think he just sits on a Doppler all day long?
Yes, I do. He's obsessed with it.
All right, what do you got?
He is the weather guy all of a sudden, so I mean, you know.
Well, I'm the weather guy, the original, the one and only weather guy, the guy who fed the other weather guy all the weather there. So I'm the weather guy.
The feud behind the scenes between these two guys is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's escalating.
CK has to just pull them apart all the time. Montagues and Capulets, these guys.
Yes, I will.
What's
say,
that from, Clary?
No idea.
Montagues and Capulets.
Dumb and Dumber.
That's it.
How does he pull this stuff?
You said you've never seen the movie.
I've seen the movie.
Oh, I thought
times.
You'd never seen it. Okay, never
so
mind.
So, who are they? Which characters in Dumb and Dumber?
Bob and Freddy.
What?
I don't know.
How do you know it's Dumb and Dumber then?
I don't. I just guess. It's either Dumb and Dumber or Austin Powers. That's the only two movies that you guys talk to me about, and I'm just kind of like, okay, it's fine.
So you're going with Dumb and Dumber, not Austin Powers.
I'm gonna go with Dumb and Dumber.
What were the names I said?
No idea.
Yep.
Anyway, what's the weather report on Halloween?
The weather report on Halloween is, as you said, it's looking possibly a little rainy.
You've got to be kidding me.
Yep. It's going to be a high of 64 degrees. I do expect it to go maybe up to as high as 68 degrees, but also when it gets down at night, it could be high 50s, like 58 degrees, which is fine.
Temperature's fine. Tell me more about the rain.
But there's a chance of rain later on in the evening, of course.
How much of a chance?
There's a 40% chance as we sit here today. But again, then we are 2 weeks out.
Yeah.
But when they show a chance of rain this early on, they usually is not a good sign.
Who's they? I thought you were reading
the weather gods.
Okay. I'm just making sure you're not just grabbing somebody else's weather report.
No, it's my sources.
Got it. Danny, it always rains on Halloween.
It feels like it does now, yeah.
That's ridiculous.
It's dumb.
Now it's time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports.
Do it as quick as we can here. Darris, game show music, if you have it, please, sir. This is the top 10 rated television shows of all time using combined audience and critic scores. So keep in mind, there's going to be a bent more towards more recent shows because, like, no one was getting online and being like, that, you know, Andy Griffith show was awesome. You know what I mean? Like, in terms of an audience score. There are a couple shows that are sort of pre this period in time, but I will say, more modern emphasis here. The top 10 shows of all time.
So let's see how many we can get in 2 minutes because we're already super.
And that's the idea. One does not belong and is incorrect. I will tell you that at the
time. Breaking Bad.
That is number one.
MASH.
No.
Wow.
Sopranos.
Yes, that is number four.
The Wire.
That is number six.
Game of Thrones.
That is number two.
Orange is the New Black.
That is not on there.
What? we're naming the greatest shows ever.
Not a good first season Seinfeld. Where they ran out of a premise. No. See, that should be on there instead of the one that is. Wow.
Friends.
Friends is on the list further down, but not in the top 10.
Okay. Wow.
Law and Order?
Nope.
Cheers?
Nope. See, you're in the genre where they should be, are not. Okay. You got to go later.
The Andy Griffith Show?
Nope.
Later meaning more recent?
Yes.
Okay.
Nothing from the 90s in the top 10. Although Sopranos originated in 99.
Darris, help me out.
Oh, this is getting tough now.
Mm-hmm. Spinoff of Breaking Bad.
Bannon Brothers.
Bannon Brothers is on there, number five. There are five total HBO shows in the top 10.
I love that. Top five?
Did you say spinoff of Breaking Bad?
Yes.
What's the name of that? Better Call Saul?
Correct, number seven.
Wow.
And there's how many more HBOs do we have?
One, and it's a one-season-only miniseries.
I mean, I'll never get that.
You watched it?
I did. How recently?
2 years ago.
Ted Lasso.
No. That's Apple TV. 3.6 round again. Not good, not terrible. Correct.
That was a great show.
Yep.
I don't know. What's left?
There are two. There's one show that ended up on Netflix, one in Netflix original, and then number nine is Sherlock, which is wrong. That's incorrect. That show does not belong in the top 10. It belongs in the top 10 of shows that start with S-H-E-R-L-O. Maybe it cracks the top 10 there.
There might be a couple Sherlows that were really good.
Sherlock is fine. Let's all calm down.
You forget the show Sherlom. Well acted.
Sherlock.
What did we miss? Because we got to say goodbye now.
Number 10, Peaky Blinders. Number eight, Stranger Things. And I think that is the list of the top ten.
I should have gotten Peaky Blinders. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to apologize for not saying Stranger Things. That's way outside my wheelhouse.
Right, which I understand. And that's on you. But yeah. Peaky Blinders rules.
We're giving away Caps tickets next, top of the hour, then a Beltway Blitz right here on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.